Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so grateful to be here again with all of you. And before we dive into our sharing and our reading for this evening, let's begin with coming into silence together. If you are able, settling in, allowing your eyes to close if you'd like. And turning our attention from without to within. And dropping inwards into the, not into our body necessarily, but into the core of our being. I often imagine as I drop inwards that my mind is just sinking past those surface level thoughts, the mind chatter, the fear, the worry, appearances, thoughts of appearances, almost like clouds. I'm just imagining dropping inwards. And as we collectively go beneath these clouds, we find beneath them is this bright, shining truth, this bright, shining love that has never changed. It has never left. It has never gone anywhere. It was simply obscured by our layers of fear. But it remains. It always has been and always will be. All things are here, everything that we seek. And in this moment, just connecting with our willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was. Offering our willingness to spirit, and if you'd like, even just imagining handing everything over. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Giving it all to spirit to be repurposed so we can be certain of the outcome, which is here in us now. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge by our request. That light within goes nowhere. As we slowly bring our attention to this perception of this time and place. If you'd like, taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. Welcome back, everyone. We had a good time last week with my dad and his grand chickens. So thank you for just rolling with the week off. What I would like to do, I had mentioned this at the end or at some point during our last call. I want to share a document with you that I put together. Why did I do this? I don't remember why I did this. I was inspired. I am currently filming my From Anxiety to Love masterclass, and I have just a little blurb about all the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And I'm pretty sure that is what inspired me to go to the web edition of A Course in Miracles, because I love how you can search for something and the web edition, which is the foundation for Inner Peace Edition, will generate the reference for you. So my days of finding references are over. And I searched for the term "for you." So in other words, the Holy Spirit chooses God for you. I was looking for those references that indicate that the Holy Spirit does things for us. And of course, there was a lot of other "for yous" that don't fit that meaning, but there were 600 something "for yous" that showed up in my search, and I combed through all of them. So I'm not claiming that this list is complete, because it's possible I missed something, but I do want to share this with you because I just found it. Can we all see this? Okay, great. I just found this incredibly helpful. So there were 626 results when I searched "for you," and I pulled the quotes that speak to what the Holy Spirit or Jesus does for us. And when you see this list, when you see all of these quotes, and we'll look at them together, this makes sense, this line from the Course, and it is very hard for you to realize it is not personally insulting that your contribution and the Holy Spirit's are so extremely disproportionate. So we are asked to do so little, and the Holy Spirit does so much. So these are my words, just having read through the quotes. Again, not all, this is not a complete list, but here are some things that the Holy Spirit does for us. I like saying she undoes error for us, decides for God for us, removes hallucinations, illusions from our mind for us, keeps error unreal for us, knows our value for us, remembers God's will for us, interprets for us, accomplishes for us, awoke for us, remembers for us, judges for us, sees for us, learns and unlearns for us, makes decisions for us, does for us, transcends time for us, remembers eternity for us, lets healing be done for us, solves problems for us, calls upon heaven for us, responds for us. And this wasn't a "for you" reference, but it talks about how the Holy Spirit forgives all things. So the list that I just named are from all of these quotes. And if anybody wants this list, I'm happy to email it to you. So just email me at info@fromanxietytolove.com. And I'd be happy to share this with you. So I'll just highlight a few of them. If you allow yourself to feel guilty, you will reinforce the error rather than allow it to be undone for you. This is why I suggested that you remind yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to decide for God for you. If you do not want them on the basis of loss of peace, they will be removed from your mind for you. Forgiveness through the Holy Spirit keeps things unreal for you. I know your value for you. The Holy Spirit remembers it for you. So the list goes on. Look at all these things. He will judge for you as he sees for you, and he sees for you as your witness to the real world. Holy Spirit will undo for you everything you have learned. So like this list, again, if I just keep scrolling, you'll see this is 6 pages of quotes of things that Holy Spirit or Jesus does for us. And I have an experience when I read through this list. Leave him his function, for he will fulfill it if you but ask him to enter your relationships and bless them for you. You have never given any problem to the Holy Spirit he has not solved for you. It goes on and on and on. So when I read these things, especially sequentially, like one thing after another, and get this sense of all of the things that Holy Spirit does for us and that Jesus does for us, it becomes so obvious to me that our little part, there's that Course quote, it's about, you know, our small part is to seek and find the barriers that we've built against love. So what is hidden in my mind. I can't always figure it out or see it myself. I can ask for it to be shown, but these little judgments, fears, guilt feelings, that is all to be taken to the Holy Spirit to be undone for us. So it's really cool, isn't it? Obviously, this is like, I mean, we could have a whole class just reading through all of these things, but let the madness be undone for you. Give a problem to the Holy Spirit to solve for you. The Holy Spirit has remembered capital C cause for you. It's just so, and I have some other really good quotes at the bottom. So like I said, if anybody would like this list, I feel like it's just absolutely beautiful and helpful. And again, I have an actual experience when I read it and just sit with it of just feeling completely dependent in the best possible way on the Holy Spirit. So thank you for letting me share that with you. Clapping, Michelle. Yes. I agree. Thank goodness for the course and for easily searchable additions. Joyce, yes, you can absolutely have it. If you can email me, again, my email address, I'll put it in the chat just so everybody can see it. If you have any of my emails, you can just hit reply. It's info@fromanxietytolove.com. So I just put that in the chat. So feel free to email me and I will get that to you. All right. Are there any comments or questions about that before we turn our attention to the text? I'm sorry, to the manual for teachers, the actual book.
I think Corinne. I think it's
hi,
a.
Paul.
It's hello. It's really cool reading it in a list like that. One of the things that I'm kind of letting sink in recently is, you know, all those things are happening, and I feel it in the moment or the total peace. But just to remember, like, all of that's being taken care of in the background.
It's so reassuring, isn't it? And it's so. Yeah. It so speaks to the like waking up, remembering the truth. There's no efforting. There's no like effort of like my own will, like, let me remember the truth. You know, it's not a forceful thing that I have to do. I have an effort to make in watching my mind, recognizing when I lapse into fear, turning to the Holy Spirit. Like, that's where the work comes in. But the Holy Spirit is the one that undoes for us, remembers for us, all of those things. And so there's, I don't need to feel frustrated or strain or that, like, you know, like I have to put forth this incredible effort to try to remember the truth, because it's done. The Course says over, this is another thing I could look up, but, it says in many different places, references to just the outcome being guaranteed. Those who will read this tonight or next week, depending if we get to it, but that quote, those who are certain of the outcome can afford to wait and wait without anxiety. That's under the patient's characteristic. The outcome, you know, our success is guaranteed, and we can trust that. We can really trust that. Thank you, Paul. Anyone else before we start shifting attention? Although the Holy Spirit's with us, so we can keep talking about that anytime. Let's bring our attention to where we left off 2 weeks ago in the manual for teachers. So if you have the CE edition, it's page 1581. It's the section on gentleness. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is Part 4, what are the characteristics of God's teachers? And then it's section 4 within that on gentleness. So this is where we will pick up. Hi, Carolyn, Pat. I see you. Hi. Okay, so gentleness. Part 4 on gentleness. Harm is impossible for God's teachers. They can neither harm nor be harmed. Harm is the outcome of judgment. It is the dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. It is a verdict of guilt upon a brother and therefore on oneself. It is the end of peace and the denial of learning. It demonstrates the absence of God's curriculum and its replacement by insanity. No teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his training, that harmfulness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. It will make him confused, fearful, angry, and suspicious. It will make the Holy Spirit's lessons impossible to learn. Nor can God's teacher be heard at all, except by those who realize that harm can actually achieve nothing at all. No gain can come from it. Therefore, God's teachers are wholly gentle. They need the strength of gentleness, for it is in this that the function of salvation becomes easy. To those who would do harm, it is impossible. To those whom harm has no meaning, it is merely natural. What choice but this has meaning to the sane? Who chooses hell when he perceives a way to heaven? And who would choose the weakness that must come from harm in place of the unfailing, all-encompassing, and limitless strength of gentleness? The might of God's teachers lies in their gentleness, for they have understood their evil thoughts came neither from God's Son nor his Creator. Thus have they joined their thoughts with him who is their source. And so their will, which always was his own, is free to be itself. So I just had an experience when I was reading this, and we'll of course talk about the words here. And I'm kind of, I don't want to say I'm freaking out, but I was not prepared to share this tonight, but I just had a wave come over me that it's time to share. I have sort of indicated a couple times, if you felt me slow down at one point in like the second paragraph, it was because I was getting that feeling and it was a little over, like it was big. I've shared or indicated a few times that I've been going through a very, very profound, like, I don't know what to call it, transformation, metamorphosis, something has been happening. It started last spring, like before the pandemic began. And it's involved some like past life type of memories, a lot of unexplainable experiences. And what has come forward recently is a very real experience of the Black Madonna. I am learning about who the Black Madonna is because she's not mentioned anywhere in the course. For those of you who are like, Black Madonna, who is that? As we know, Jesus and Mary were not white. They had dark skin. The Black Madonna is also dates back a long time, like back to like pre-Christian days, I believe, in terms of understanding her as different goddesses. And I have been brought into this very new place. And I'm reading about her, I'm learning about her. And the very interesting thing for me is that this book that I'm currently reading called Healing Journeys with the Black Madonna, all of the ancient ceremonies and rituals surrounding the Black Madonna are still part of the culture of Southern Italy, Naples and Sicily, where I'm actually part, half of my family is from. I've been, when my great grandparents came over here, everybody became American. So my whole cultural background was just forgotten, Polish, Italian, you know, just wiped out. And so it's been very interesting for me to come back to this part of my lineage and have this real experience of the Black Madonna, who has kind of been behind a lot of these unexplainable experiences behind the loved ones, behind of a lot of different things that have been unfolding for me in the past year plus. I got the prompt to share that with you now, unexpectedly, because of this section, which I read this section before on gentleness, and this did not come up. But what I'm finding, and these paragraphs, the Black Madonna embodies gentleness. And I've been finding that I've been brought into this very experiential practice of the Course that's not heady at all. Meaning, in gentleness, I like walk around now in my yard, like feeling the earth beneath my feet and like walking gently, taking joy in recycling, like wanting to, because the Black Madonna is also associated with the earth, which is confusing to me as a Course student, because like, isn't the earth, you know, part of the dream? I'm still learning. This is all still unfolding for me. And I have more questions at this point than I have answers. But this gentleness piece, I know that the Black Madonna gentleness is, she is flowing with gentleness, and being able to walk the world in gentleness to me means not bypassing. Meaning, if I have a plastic bottle in my hand while I'm in this body, it is my responsibility to recycle it. It is my responsibility to, you know, to be gentle with all things, literally all things, whether they're part of the illusion or not. I would never do this, but like not letting go of Mylar balloons, you know, helium balloons on the beach that end up in the ocean. Just, you know, all things like that. And it's been quite just an interesting space to be, because I've heard Course teachers be like, it doesn't matter. It's all an illusion. You know, it doesn't matter what we do here. It's all an illusion. And yet this section that we just read is about doing absolutely no harm. And I know that the argument exists that the Course is not about behavior at all. I would say it's not about ego behavior, but it is about spirit-driven behavior. It is about what spirit tells us to do. So right now I am being guided and I am being directed to be incredibly gentle in all things that I do, in all circumstances, in all ways, even gentle with my food, like as I'm chewing it, and feeling really, it's almost as if I feel like I'm getting so rooted and connected into the earth and into nature that I'm sensing the oneness through that. So it's not an intellectual, like, oh, all this nature is just part of the dream. It's an actual experiencing of being in it so fully and so being so present to it, that in that presence, that experience of oneness comes out. So this section on gentleness this is what it means to me right now. And yeah, I didn't expect for all that to come out, but it was time apparently. So there you go. That's where I'm at. And that's what this section means to me. If there's particular lines that you want to talk about or questions or just things that stand out to you, I am all ears. But that is what, I'll just say too, this is also behind, you know, my work with the loved ones, like being in a white body. I want to cause no harm. And if there is a blind spot, if there is something that I am carrying in my unconscious, if there is something that I can say or do that causes harm that I don't realize, I want to be shown. I want to see it. I want everything to come up for healing. And so that's just why I'm you know, so engaged with that work. Aw, thank you, Joyce. Carol, did I just see your hand?
Yes.
Carol and John.
First of all, Corinne, thank you so much. I sense and I feel your gentleness. I can't put into words how grateful I am for what you just shared. We have had 4 very difficult days. Our puppy, who is laying right over here, her name is Hope, has been going through one health issue after another. And we are praying for guidance, taking her to the vet, praying for guidance, taking her to the vet. And within, I don't know, 6 hours, she has another physical symptom. And it's Sunday. Anyway, it's just like, okay, what do we do? And all day yesterday, it was like, Holy Spirit, I give her to you. Holy Spirit, I give her to you. And I thought I was going to get on this call tonight and tell you this amazing things that were happening. And now she has more physical symptoms that she's being challenged with. And I'm going, I mean, before I got on this call with you, I'm talking to my daughter and going, we have to go back to the vet and we have to do this and we have to do that. And I knew I was not of spirit. I knew I was not of peace. I knew my mind was just ego, 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 ego. And after listening to you, I feel that peace. She's still got more physical things that we have no knowledge as to what's going on. She actually is at peace. She's a puppy. She's 8 months old. She's not being a puppy, you know, like she was a week ago when Paula was here to visit. So I can't begin to tell you how much gratitude I have listening to you, because I feel like I've just come like this, the Zen. So whatever I hear from here is what I'm supposed to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much. And what I'm getting right now is that if you can stay there, if you can come to that place of equanimity within and listen to her deeply, you know, obviously not with words, but there's something, whether it's a pesticide sensitivity or there's something, I don't know. I feel like if you're able to steady yourself, you're going to be told or guided as to what you need to know to help her.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. John and then Christine.
Hi.
Hi, Corinne.
I just want to thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, that was so personal and so intense. I mean, I was going like, oh my God, the whole time you were talking. But I just feel so blessed that this is happening to you, and to be a part of it, that you're sharing it with us, is a blessing too. And, you know, Robert, lately in classes, we've been doing the Song of Prayer and whatnot, and he's been talking about healing, how we're all supposed to be healers. That's what we're called to do. And I feel like you're connecting with that healing. You say you're connecting like with the earth and all the stuff around you. I think that's part of that connectedness that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's amazing, to be honest. It's totally
thank
amazing.
Thank you, John.
Like, oh my gosh. Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, now I have like 10 other things I want to share. This isn't just me. This is the Black Madonna energy is emerging for whatever it's, I'm getting goosebumps for whatever it has been that she's been unseen for some time. She's coming now, her energy. And I feel so weird. Like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Her energy is, you know, it's emerging for all of us. And I share this not, this is no spectacle on my part or anything special. This is a message. This is something for all of us and for all of us. It's a call for all of us to slow down and to turn within and to listen and to be where we are literally right now and to not bypass anymore. Like, I feel like we're me. And I guess what I'm saying is it's a call to stop all the headiness and to come back into our hearts, to come back into our being, because it's in this moment that there is so much that's unfolding behind the scenes. I've had days where I literally, and other people have felt this too, this is not unique to me. Freedom felt this, Yolanda felt this. There were a chunk of days when I literally could get nothing done. because the sensing of something shifting behind the scenes, behind form, was so big that it was like, my body was like, I can't do anything. Like my body just has to like wait and like catch up. And I'm not the only one who said that. People have felt that in other forms. So I just, of course, you know, have to say that there's nothing special about me, or my goodness, there's nothing special about me or special about what I'm saying, that this is an energy that is emerging, and it is for the awakening of all of humanity and every living, you know, creature that we have been entrusted to take care of, including this planet. And this is the other part that I wanted to say. This is what's just coming through. My body that I perceive myself in right now is literally of the earth. It is from the earth, and the earth therefore is alive, just like I perceive my body to be alive. Of course, there we know from the course, it's not really alive, it's part of the dream, but it's they're the same and they're one. So if I'm out there killing the planet, I literally am hiding the light of truth, you know, in me. So I just wanted to say that there is this, whatever is happening, it's happening for all of us. I feel very, thank you all for sharing so far. And I just, the day that I realized that I've been writing down, there's so much that's been happening. It's going to one day, maybe, I don't know if they'll become podcasts or whatever. I write things down as they happen because I quickly forget details and I even forget what has happened. I don't remember now that moment that I realized that it was the Black Madonna that was emerging, because there's been so much over the past like year and a half that's been unexplainable, that has been, just totally unexplainable, that it's like such, there's part of me that feels like so relieved now to know, not that I know anything, I still don't know what I'm saying, but like to know that it's like the Black Madonna. So it's yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you, DG. Something inside you knows exactly what you're expressing. Yeah, I sure don't, but Christine, I saw your hands.
Well, thank you for sharing. I think you've answered a lot of my question. I was wondering if this was past life experience. I found it interesting that you spoke of your ancestors or your heritage. My niece is like totally half Italian. And when she went to Italy and went to the cathedrals, she cried. Anyway, I was curious if it was coming from past life.
That's a great question, Christine. And the Black Madonna herself, and whatever this consciousness is that's emerging for all of us, is definitely not past life, but it is like the next step in the healing of the separation. My specific pieces could be related to, you know, past life stuff. I mean, I've had now another, I've had two memories. Interestingly, I want to find it again. I can't remember where it is that I read it, but it says something to the effect in the course that, you know, past lives, the course doesn't take a stand on, and because it's still all part of the dream, but Jesus says somewhere in the course, if you need to know of a past life, and it will be of no use to your ego, but helpful, I'll tell you. And that's what these two experiences have been like. One relates to a family member, and that happened some time ago, but this more recent one is about land. It's about being connected. I've shared a little bit of this before, and I always end up stopping because I start stumbling over my words. I'll just tell you now because it feels right. There's a park near my house that's a site of the Revolutionary War. So it's been preserved. There are still houses standing there from the Revolutionary War. And it's not the battle that I feel connected to, but the land and the past life piece there. I don't exactly know what it is, but when I go there, it's been over a year and a half, and I had been to this park some of my website photos are from this park. I will cry and cry and cry and cry because I feel like I am home. And last summer, I just wanted to be there all the time. It's weird. Like, you know, again, there's no logical anything in my experience, but it's a deep, deep feeling. And that I'm certain is something with, you know, past life stuff. So, but again, to just be clear, to bring it back to what the course says, that, I mean, I almost think of it as like, this all happened and was done with in an instant. So it's almost like we can think of any kind of past life, not actually in the past, but almost parallel. And as we heal now, as we choose for truth and God and Holy Spirit now, it collapses. Like literally you're learning for all your other lifetimes too. Like it collapses all of it. So it's not like this, you know, we know, I mean, from physics and also from the course that time is a trick. It's a sleight of hand. It's not linear. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that. Thank you for that question, Christine. Were there any other hands or any other questions about anything that I shared with gentleness or anything just about these two paragraphs that we just read about the strength of gentleness? Harmlessness.
Corinne?
Yes.
Hi, sorry, I was...
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, I have two quick questions for you. When did your body feel like that?
My body feeling like what?
When you said you just went through a period where your body felt like it couldn't do anything.
That was probably, I don't know, like a month ago, maybe.
Okay. And is the Black Madonna, is that the same energy as Mary?
I think so.
I do.
I'm still learning. Okay. I don't know. I believe Black Madonna and Madonna, like Mary, they're all the same.
That's what I think, because black is just an outward appearance to the mm-hmm. body's eyes. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's the same energy. That's really interesting. That's all I'll say. Thank you so much.
Thank you. There's also too, like, again, what I'm learning about the Black Madonna, like the darkness, the womb, like the earth, when you put a seed into the ground, that's thought of as like the womb of the mother, because the seed is now like dark, you know, beneath the soil. And just the whole idea about how darkness is necessary for things to grow, for new things to emerge. So, and Tanya, I don't even know if I answered your question correctly, because like I said, I'm still learning, but it seems it's interesting to be coming into this with the course perspective, because it's just interesting because it's different than other traditions and schools of thought about the Madonna and the Black Madonna and who she is. So,
well, it's interesting because the reason I'm asking about your body is last week, this whole mm-hmm. last week, I felt like I cannot do anything. Mm-hmm. I just could not do anything. Mm-hmm. And I kept feeling Mary.
Interesting.
Mary showing up and the love of Mary just being very present.
Interesting. Well, Tanya, we're often, you and I are often on a parallel lesson journey. So that's not surprising to me.
I really appreciate your sharing, because Mary first showed up for me in a really like stunning way. Mm-hmm. Her energy first came, I was not brought up with religion, and her energy first came to me 6 years ago when I was going through all those tests mm-hmm. before my chemo. Mm-hmm. And it was the most loving, present, gentle, comforting energy. And I'm not always connecting mm-hmm. with Mary in my mm-hmm. life, but lately, I have that feeling with my body. And I was mm-hmm. like, what is wrong with me? I've had this feeling of, things just feel different, and I didn't know why. I haven't understood it, and I started feeling Mary coming in again, really strongly. So everything that you shared is beyond. Also, you know, beyond what I just said, and that was really interesting. And and beautiful. And thank you
for thank
sharing
you.
It. And also thank you for helping kind of make some pieces fall into place for me personally. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you so much. I think for all of us, if we're feeling tired, if we're feeling that pull to slow down, sometimes it's just an inner pull to get quiet, to slow down. I hope my sharing encourages all of us to slow down, especially in these gorgeous summer months. My favorite time to be outside is when the sun is going down and the lightning bugs are out and it's like hot and steamy still, but not too hot because, you know, the sun has gone down. I'll just go like slowly walk around my yard. So I really encourage all of us to slow down and to really listen to our bodies, listen internally, listen, you know, for what you are being called to do. Because like I said, this is not just for me at all. This is all of us. Something's shifting in a big way for all of us behind the scenes. Thank you, Tanya. Sue, I see your hand. Are you there, Sue? I'm not sure if I should try to help you come off mute or not.
How's that?
Ah, there you are.
Here I am, voice-wise. Andrew Harvey is a Christian mystic. And Carolyn Miss. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I know Carolyn.
Andrew Harvey and she are very... Anyway, I listened to what they have to say, and I did read a book called Christ, The Return of Christ. Anyway, it talks a great, they talk, the mysticism of Andrew Harvey is very much directing that this is what's happening, is the divine feminine is becoming... is coming into the world. The patriarchal, the downing of the female, the subservience of the female, the unacknowledgement of the divine aspect of, because we're both male and female within ourselves. So they talk a lot about that is what's emerging in the world. So you are maybe feeling it more personally, but it's happening, like you said, for all of us. It's just a real transformation from the dogmatic historical ways that our world has into the more nurturing aspects of God.
Cool. Thank you for that so much, Sue. It's so funny because in the past, whenever I've heard divine feminine, I've been like, I don't know what that is. And it, of course, doesn't talk about that, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like divine feminine, like I'm all ears and I'm trying to soak up anything that I can learn. So thank you, Sue. Julie.
Hi, Corinne.
Hi, Julie.
I have a question about this section on gentleness. Is your interpretation of it, the meaning of it, that we are to approach all things with gentleness?
That's your question. That's you're asking if that's what I think, that we approach all things with gentleness.
Is that your
so
interpretation of the meaning of this?
Gotcha. Section? Gotcha, Julie. Thank you for that. So I guess I would say two things. First, as we develop trust in the Holy Spirit, we can't help but be gentle. So it's almost like approaching gentleness with all things isn't something to do. It's not something that we consciously are like, okay, I have to be gentle. But instead, it's like the miracle impulse that arises through us. You know, if miracles are expressions of love and we have these expressions of love that want to bubble up and come out through us, gentleness is one way that they come out and come through. So I would say yes to your question that this is about approaching all things with gentleness, but it's more of not like a forced gentleness than it is a gentleness that is there, that shows up because it's there already as we shed the layers of fear. Like I don't have to be gentle. This is where it kind of, there's that distinguishing thing. When so many course students argue that the course is not about behavior, well, it's not about the ego's behavior. It's not about me, Corinne, being like, Corinne is going to be gentle. it's about that miracle impulse in me that's not of Corinne that comes through because it's already there to express that gentleness. So it's the spirit guided gentleness, not ego decide, not the ego trying to fix itself and be good, but the spirit, you know, moving us. And in that we are gentle. We have to be gentle. So my answer to your question is yes, it's about approaching all things with gentleness, but we can certainly decide that we want to be more gentle and that can bring us in this, you know, direction, but it's a gentleness that truly comes from within, rather than like it be something that I have to do, you know, if that makes sense. Thank you for that, Julie. Andrea.
I always love how these things dovetail with whatever I was meditating on earlier in the day. Because today I was meditating on the idea that the body's not real, the world's not real, all that stuff. It's I was like, well, what's the point of being in physical form? We can't just take some aspects of physical form and leave others or discount others. It's like, I'm not arguing with gravity. You know, I'm here in, I'm not arguing with needing to eat or needing to sleep as a body. So here I am in physical form, or my soul, my real self is living inside this body in physical form, which is just made out of carbon. It's the same stuff that the earth is made out of. And why am I here? I'm here to extend love. I'm here to extend forgiveness. I'm here to not judge, to take any judgments and give them up to the Holy Spirit. I'm here to share love. I'm here to share the truth by being the walking example, you know, learning as best I can and how to see only through the eyes of love, through the eyes of Christ. And so when I'm judging or in fear of something or angry about something or railing against some behavior that somebody did or somebody else did, anytime I'm in judgment, I'm going against my true nature, which is pure love. And you know, everything on the earth is just neutral. It's like, it's really neutral. So if I'm thinking about right, wrong, or good, bad, I'm not tuning into the truth of what I am, which is pure love and pure light. And so this is sort of like a place to get to practice doing that, to get to practice staying in love, staying in truth, you know, even with the stimulus around that is designed to distract out of love. And then this quote from this section is, no teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his or her training, that harmfulness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. So that doing harm is basically picking a fight or arguing with pieces of the illusion that I don't like. I'm in right and wrong thinking rather than being in love. If I'm just in love and peacefulness and equanimity and acceptance and gentleness, it's by not arguing with this game that we've all decided to play together.
Andrea, I have goosebumps. Thank you so much. The your phrase, it's about like not arguing. Like that's everything. That's gentleness, is not arguing. It's like the Holy Spirit doesn't argue any of the ego's nonsense. It does not argue. It just looks straight. It like sees the truth beyond it. It sees the love beyond it. It doesn't argue. It just upholds what is true, which is that love. And so, you know, in with gentleness. I mean, again, I'm thinking I've shared so many times here about a challenging family relationship that I have, and it can go down the path of arguing so fast. I mean, like so fast, and not even out loud, like just even in, you know, my head. And with that gentleness, with being in right-mindedness, can we allow the Holy Spirit to see the truth in that other person for us, where we started, for us? There is no need to argue. There is only that willingness to hold steady and stand in the truth of the Holy Spirit. Because as we know from that long list in the beginning, we can't do anything. We're just gonna, as I always say, I would just steer my ship into the ground. So let us get out of the way. I love too how you also said about just like the practice of staying in love, even with all like the different stimuli, like all the things, you know, happening around us that are witnesses for leaving that space and that staying in that love. And this is also so clear to me too, is that it really is about being an active miracle worker in the world, that Jesus, Holy Spirit needs our lips, our tongue, our hands, our feet to move around in this world and to extend love where we are called to extend love. And in that way, the course is about behavior. Again, spirit guided behavior, not self chosen, you know, egoic, fix up the ego kind of behavior. So, and I, one other thing, Andrea, I just want to highlight again, that sentence that you highlighted, because I have it underlined twice. Harmfulness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. Can we all just step into that for a moment and think of a time in our own lives? I can think of one very easily when we lapse into judgment or fear, and it's like the light goes dim. You know, we just, it's sitting on that banister of a spiral staircase and just whoop, sliding right down into the ego basement again. So any form of harmfulness, we forget our function. Our function has not gone anywhere. That love within has not gone anywhere, but the curtain comes down. We've pulled it over our own eyes. When we, you know, listen to that ego voice, which wants to keep that harmfulness going. So thank you for highlighting that sentence. I really like that sentence. Linda.
So my understanding is we're basically living in ego most of the time and just trying to bring ourselves back to our real selves, our capital S selves. So those times when we are judging, which for me, it's most of the time, then aren't we just kind of supposed to sit back and observe that and notice it and be gentle with ourselves in those times too, to just say, I'm doing it again. Oh, there I go again. Oh, and that's my understanding, is that's kind of the basis of forgiveness, is the observation of it, looking, watching without judgment, mm-hmm. of yourself, even when you're judging somebody else.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Linda, thank you for that. And I say a big yes to everything that you just said, because that gentleness with ourselves is everything. And that's why I always say we have to be where we are, that even the thought of, I shouldn't be dealing with this still, I shouldn't still be struggling with this, I shouldn't be feeling this way, all those are not gentle, you know, thoughts towards ourselves. We have to allow ourselves to be where we are. And that gentleness, that self-care, even how we think of the body. Yes, the body is wholly neutral. Yes, our minds are not in our bodies are in our minds. But if we approach the body with any sense of this thing that's in my way of remembering the truth, you know, if we are looking at the body with any form of lack of love, if we hate the body, we're meeting an ego energy with ego. Like we're just fueling the ego if we're mad at it or if we hate it. So having that gentleness toward our own body, toward ourselves, 100%, I agree with you that it's about like observing, looking with Holy Spirit and maintaining that gentleness with ourselves, for sure. Thank you, Linda. I did not expect, oh, Andrea.
I don't know if this comes from the course or from you, Corinne, but I love the definition of forgiveness. Is forgiveness is for giving it up to God. So taking whatever it is and for, it's for giving it up to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to approving of something or pretending it doesn't matter or,
right.
or even, but also foreseeing that no harm was ever done. No real harm was ever done.
Right, right. Thank you, Andrea. I don't think that's in the course. I did write that in my book, but that comes from my mom. So if my mom got that from somebody else, I don't know, but that's what she used to always say to me. Forgiveness is forgiving to the Holy Spirit. So credit to my mom. Deidre and then Jason. Deidre, did you have something you wanted to say? I thought I heard you for a second.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hi.
Hi.
I just was really struck by, I love the reading tonight about harm and judgment, because what the course is saying is so true. Judgment is the thing that causes harm. And then when you were talking so beautifully, sharing about your experience with the Black Madonna, Corinne, I kept energetically getting Mary's presence with me. And Mary is known for being that nurturing, non-judgmental, unconditionally loving presence. And when we think, I'm reminded of the line in the course that says, miracles are performed through your hands, through me, or something to that effect. And when I think about miracles don't require any effort at all. There's no effort. It is just something that naturally flows out of the experience of expressing a miracle. We don't have to try. We don't have to do. It just flows outwardly. And I feel like that is such a big core part of gentleness, is that we don't have to try. When we're trying, that's efforting. And that comes from something other than spirit, other than love. Mm. That is what came forward for me.
Oh, Deidre, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Big yes. I relate to everything that you just said. Thank you so much. So good to hear your voice.
Hey, everyone.
Oh, thank you again. And Jason.
Hey, Corinne.
Hi.
Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate your willingness to be open with us. I think that's as big of a teaching tool there is, really, is when you are feeling the energy, the vibrational energy, higher level of consciousness, and you're aware of that, to be able to share that live is amazing. And your connection to the earth makes total sense to me. And I didn't think about this before, but it just occurred to me that, you know, the earth, it's what the course says at the very beginning. I don't know what chapter, maybe 3, to deny the body is the inappropriate use of denial.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the earth? But then it is the body of life that we all come from in form. And to deny the body or the earth is, I think, inappropriate use of denial. I have to ask Jesus, but I don't know if I don't get direct messages, but, and so the earth is gradually responding, you know, to unconscious behavior, but very slowly, you know. I mean, it's obviously the temperature is going up, so it's getting a little fever, you know, until some of the stuff that is happening from unconscious behavior, from getting, and until we learn to give. And the words, and that wording, it's funny, I haven't read your book, but that's what I was teaching or sharing in my 12-step groups, which was the words are very important because they are embedded wisdom within our ancient culture. And in English, we have words like human being versus human doing. And also, forgetting, forgiving, which are exact opposite, you know? So by trying to get, we're really, I feel like I'm forgetting who I really am, which is the most important task I have in this body. And that's why I'm here, because I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. That's my whole purpose, is to learn the truth and to spread the truth and to give away the truth, because that's the only way I can get it. It's all very paradoxical, but it's hard to, I can't talk about this stuff in 12-step groups. In fact, I can't even bring up A Course in Miracles. So I keep it very general, but people are responding to it with a lot of positivity and thankfulness and gratitude. So I thank you for sharing that with us. And
Jason, thank you so much. And I just have to say, I love everything that you said. I agree with you that denying, you know, the experience that we're happening, that we're having right now of the body and the earth that is alive in the same way that we seem, you know, to be. I agree with you that denying it is an improper use of denial. And one of the things that's been striking me lately is that I always thought of like, oh, the world, you know, the world isn't real. I always thought of the earth. But like the earth, the body, the living things, it's all the same thing. The world is like, when the Course is saying like the world isn't real, it's, I don't have words yet. It's more of like the projection screen, you know, that's not real, but the my body and the earth's body being the same, you know, one and the same. I don't really have words, but I also love how you said forgetting and forgiving. That is big and so spot on, you know. And I just wanted to say too, with we right now are in a time with being asked, you know, all of us to do this inner work, especially for those of us like me in white bodies, and of course all of us in other ways, but to really be looking at the harm that has happened, the harmfulness that has happened through the years with the, I don't know if I could say it without crying, the 215 bodies of children that were found at the residential school in Canada, the unmarked grave, the 700 something more of the unmarked graves. It's as if the earth is like, it's time to like, look at what you've buried, look at what you've hidden. It's time now for it to be seen, because it's time to heal, you know, it's time to stop the harmfulness and to move into a new era of gentleness with all things. And I feel incredibly grateful that we have this tool called A Course in Miracles, which points us, you know, I've even been holding this book very, very lightly lately in terms of like, oh, the Course says, like, I don't even find that I'm going there. It's more of this is a portal. It's a pathway to developing a direct connection with Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with God, whoever you feel most connected to. And if you're talking to Jesus, if you're talking to Holy Spirit, if you're talking to God, that's what we need. You know, that's what we need. So I did not expect this call was going to go this way. Looking at the time we went over, I was like, oh, we'll read gentleness and joy and defensiveness and generosity. Yeah. No, not today, but perhaps next week. So thank you everybody so much for being here. I love you all. And email me if you want me to send you that document, and I will see you next week. Love you all. Bye everyone. Good night. Bye-bye.